So if you will turn there, Acts chapter 27, let's share the word together this morning. So glad to see all of you here today. How many of you are glad the weather finally turned for us out there? So beautiful out. I've been all summer long. Most of you know that I get out and try to get exercise and do things. You know, it's been so hot all summer long that I have ridden the bike inside instead of going outside. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that. I just stay inside, man, and just call it a day. But it was so nice out there yesterday. I went out and had my exercise walking in Windhurst yesterday, and it's just beautiful. And I think the next 10 days or so is supposed to be just like it. So I praise the Lord for that. Acts chapter 27, look way down at verse 21. Acts 27, verse 21 to 26. We'll read it, and then we'll come back and give you the context and tell you what the story is all about so you'll understand these things. Acts 27, verse 21. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to have followed my advice and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this loss." So we see incurred this damage and loss. So we see here that Paul is out on a ship and the storm is bad and the guys don't have anything to eat and all of these things are going on, okay? Verse 22, he says, "Yet now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there will not be loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of the Lord to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God.'" Paul says, "I believe God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on a certain island." And I made a note just to drop down to verse 37, just to read this verse for you, where it tells us here, and Luke, by the way, is the writer of the book of Acts, the historian who gives us this record, and who happens to be traveling with Paul at this point. And he says in verse 37, "All of us in the ship were 276. Verse 44, the end of it, "And so it happened that all were brought safely to land, just as God had said." Father, I pray that you would help me this morning to share the word of the Lord with simplicity and yet accuracy. God, that we would be challenged in our faith journey to trust you through the storms of our lives. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to be there no matter what we're going through and for the victories that await us when we continue to stand in faith. Speak to us, Father, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So how many of you today would admit, would say, would testify that you have found yourself at some point in your life journey, you have found yourself in a place where you would really rather not have been? Found yourself in a bad situation. You know, bad situations can happen for a lot of reasons. For a whole lot of reasons. Sometimes our bad situations are the result of the poor choices that we make ourselves. Sometimes the bad situations are just the enemy's attack against our lives. Sometimes we find ourselves in bad situations because we happen to be in the orbit of people who are not living right, and we get caught up in the mess that they're making. So there are a lot of reasons why bad things can happen to us. We can find ourselves in situations, not bad situations, but situations that we don't want to be in. We think they're bad, and they're really not. God can do some things, and I've shared with you, how many times have I shared my testimony that preaching and teaching the Word of God was never what I wanted to do with my life. To me, brother, that was a bad situation. I told God for so many years, "Lord, I'll do anything for you, just please don't call me to preach." But God had other things in mind, you see. For me, that was a bad idea. It wasn't for God. And so God did what God wanted to do. But today I want to focus on the other things that happen in life, because we often do find ourselves in bad situations in life for all of those reasons that we described to you. just a moment ago. And the point of the whole message is simply going to be this morning. Even in these bad places, the devil, our own choices, other people's choices, whatever it is that has caused the bad situation where we are. Listen, even though we may not have chosen to be where we are, you and I need to learn the process of looking for God in the bad situation. Looking for God in the bad situation. Even if it's a situation we created ourselves. Yeah, the amazing thing about God, guys, is this. God already knew that dumb choice you were going to make, already has a plan for you in that situation. In due season, according to Peter, to even rescue from that situation, according to his will and his time. But here's the thing. You and I need to look for God in the bad times and bad situations of life. No matter how they happen to come. Look for God. Instead of wasting time complaining to God, we should redeem the time by looking for God. And expect God to do something for us in those bad situations in life. The Bible has many promises for us where God tells us, for example, in Psalm 46 and verse 1, it tells us, God is our refuge, God is our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. When we're going through trouble, no, he doesn't specify how we got there. He simply says, if you're in trouble, know that God is there with you. Know that God is there with you. Remember, the psalmist said in Psalm 39, he says, God, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? I cannot escape. He wasn't complaining. He was grateful. He said, I can go to the highest heights. I can go to the deepest depths. It doesn't matter where I am, God, you're always there. And family, no matter where we are, no matter what we're going through in life, and no matter what the reason is we're going through it, God is always there with us. In Hebrews, he promises, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. In Isaiah, the scripture tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be there. When you're in the flood, when you're in the fire, I'll be there. I will never leave you. You are mine. You belong to me. And I will go with you through the difficult times. Look, Jonah made some bad choices. Jonah chose to run from God. Jonah found himself in the belly of a whale. And guess who he met in the belly of the whale? God was right there. Talk about a strange place to meet God. But Jonah met God in the belly of a whale. Daniel met God in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego met God in a fiery furnace. There's a thief. There's a thief in the Bible who met God right beside him when he hung on a cross. I tell you, it doesn't matter how you got where you are. God's there to meet with you. And if we'll learn to believe God in those situations, God is able, the Bible says, God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purposes. And it doesn't matter how we got to where we are. If we'll look to God in the midst of the situations, God is there to meet with us, to turn our hearts toward him, and to bring us closer to him and to make himself known in our lives. We need to look to God. Instead of complaining to God, look for God in the bad situations of life. Can I take it a step further this morning? Not only should we look for God in the bad situations, but we should look for opportunities to serve God in the bad situations. Again, how we happen to be there is irrelevant. And sometimes I think we waste a whole lot of time trying to figure out why. Lord, how did we get where we are? Why did this happen? And where are you, God, and why haven't you done it? And we've got all these why and how questions. But how many of you know when it's all said and done and we cut through all of that stuff, the answer is still the same. No matter how we got there, no matter whose fault it is, the answer is still the same. Look to God. Trust in God. listen to the Lord. Obey God. And God will have his way, and God will turn things around, and God will do whatever is necessary to get you where he wants you to be and to work in you what he wants to work in you and to work through you what he wants to work through you. I quote the scripture many times from Psalm 138 and verse 8 that tells us that God will accomplish that which concerns us. If we just surrender our lives to the Lord. And by the way, Psalm 138, it's about trouble. Like so many of the Psalms are, it's about trouble. And the psalmist says, even in the day of trouble, God will accomplish what concerns us when we look to the Lord, when we surrender ourselves to God. Acts chapters 27 and 28 are actually about the Apostle Paul's journey to the city of Rome. And let me tell you that the journey wasn't anything like Paul had planned. Okay? Paul, we know that Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He got saved. He began to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts about three missionary journeys that he took throughout modern day Turkey and then over into Greece and those parts of the world. And on the third trip, on his way home from the third trip, he wrote a letter to the believers in the city of Rome. We call it the Book of Romans. He wrote a letter to these people, and he tells them, he says, I've been taking offerings from the churches that I've been visiting. I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm taking the offerings to the poor there, and when I'm done, my intention is to go to Spain. But I'm going to stop by Rome. I'm going to stop by and visit you guys in Rome while I'm on my way to Spain. So get ready. I'll be there before long. But how many of you know Paul's trip to Rome didn't go anything like he had planned? Paul had planned to go as a free man, to go in his own time, to go in his own way, spend whatever time he thought God wanted him to, and then move on to Spain, to the next place. The problem is, it didn't work out the way Paul thought. How many of you have realized life seldom works out the way that we think? I heard somebody just not too long ago said that real life is what happens while we're making plans. And it is so true. A lot of times we plan one thing, but life has a way of doing something else. See? And we have to learn as believers to just follow the Spirit of the Lord and go with the flow of what God's wanting to do. And let God have his way in our lives and accomplish his purposes. Paul thought he'd go to Rome as a free man. Go as he will, when he will, do what he wants and go on his way. But when he got to Jerusalem, when he was in the temple, the Jews arrested him for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Essentially is what happened. The Romans came in and kept him from being beaten to death by the Jews. And so the Romans took him captive. He became a prisoner of the Romans there. He went on trial in Jerusalem. But because he was fearful of being turned over to the Jews, he appealed to Caesar. And so Paul winds up, rather than a free man on his way to Rome in his own time, he winds up on his way to Rome as a prisoner of the Romans. He goes at a time when it wouldn't be optimal for travel. In fact, it's how he winds up in the situation that he's in. They go at the wrong season. Paul actually warns the captain of the ship, probably not a good idea for us to be sailing at this time, but the captain thought he knew better. The captain was an experienced man. He knew the seas. He knew his ship. He thought he knew the time. He thought it was all right. And so he took off and sailed anyway. And as they're out in the middle of the Mediterranean, a huge storm comes in and blows them around for a couple of weeks in the middle of the seas out there. This is when we come to this passage of Scripture in Acts 27 and verse 21, when the angel of the Lord comes to Paul and says, Paul, hang in there. You're all going to be saved. The ship is going to be lost, but you're all going to be saved. Just hang in there. And Paul says in verse 25, I believe God. I believe God. And I can't prove this, but I believe it's on the faith of the Apostle Paul that all the rest of those guys happened to make it to the shore. The Bible says not a single one of them, over 276 people, 276 people tossed into the ocean, and they all survived They all made it to the shore because God had a plan and God was working it out. Oh, by the way, in verse 21, I appreciate the Bible. I've shared this a lot too. I appreciate the honesty of the Bible to tell us about the people and report accurately the things that were said and done by the people of the Bible, the mistakes that they made and all those kinds of things. And if you look real closely at verse 21, you see a man, no less a man than the great Apostle Paul, who essentially says this, I told you so. I told you so. We shouldn't have left port when we did. None of this would have happened. I told you so. Nevertheless, an angel of the God whom I serve has stood before me and promised me that we will all be saved. And so it was that all of them made it to the shore. Somebody said, wonder why God allowed that ship to be broken up and all of that to happen. And you know what? I don't know why God does some of the things that he does or even allows some of the things that he allows. I can tell you this, you and I live in an evil world. We live in a fallen world and it's ruled by the enemy and bad things happen. And I understand that God is sovereign and God can do anything and God could stop all of the evil of the world today if he wanted to. But the Bible tells us that he's not going to until Jesus comes again. And that's just the way it is, guys. That's just the way it is. God could stop death in the next second. But he's not going to. He's not going to. This thing's going to play itself out. It's going to play itself out. And our responsibility is not to question the wisdom or the plan of God, but rather to believe in the goodness of God in spite of what might look bad on the outside to you and me. It's when we trust the Lord, that's when we find salvation through the storms of life. There's a passage of scripture. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews that essentially says this, that there is going to come a time, a great time of shaking in the earth, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only the things that are of God will really remain. Can I share this with you today? I believe with all my heart, sometimes, and be careful, preacher, sometimes God allows us to lose things that we are trusting in so that we will learn we should only be trusting in him. That we'll only be. Maybe that's why he let. Listen, these guys are trusting in that ship. That captain is trusting in his wisdom. He's trusting in his knowledge of the sea and the time and that ship. And they did everything they could think of to save that ship. Man, they started chucking the supplies overboard. They started chucking the tackle and all the stuff, the anchors. I mean, they're just getting rid of everything to make that ship lighter. They took ropes and tried to wrap them around that thing to save it. And yet nothing would save it. The ship would eventually get stuck on a reef and the waves would batter it until it broke all to pieces. And all of these men that are on the ship would be tossed into the ocean. And yet they all were saved. Now you see, guys, we can look at this in two different ways. We can look at that and say, what a terrible thing that happened to the ship. Or we could look at it and we can say, thank God nobody was lost. See? Which way you want to look at it? God was there. God was in the midst of it. And that's why the only thing that was lost was the ship, not the people. They were all saved. Look at the 28th chapter with me. Look at verse 1. You know, I really think that explains a lot of things. It is so easy for us to trust in the thing. Oh. Should we go back to talking about politics? We had a good discussion on politics Wednesday night. And I said some things about democracy that probably made people mad. And thank God for democracy and thank God we live on the greatest nation in the world and all that kind of stuff. I get that. But listen, too many people in our nation are trusting in democracy to fix problems, to meet their needs, and all of these kinds of things. And democracy is nothing in the world but another system by which men govern themselves. And it is another system that ultimately will fail, and must pass away. Because Jesus, listen, how many of you know today, the kingdom of heaven is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. God rules. And if you don't like it, there's another place you can go. Am I right? It's the way it is, guys. That's the way it is. That may be cold and hard, but that's the way it is. All right. So, again, my point is, we trust in so many things. We trust in political systems, political parties. We trust in our money. We trust in our jobs. We trust in everything. And the scripture says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that only those things that remain are the things that of God. And sometimes we trust in the things of the world and we have to lose those things. That's the whole message. That is the whole message of Jesus' encounter with the rich young ruler. Jesus had absolutely no problem whatsoever with that man having money. Jesus has no problem whatsoever with you and me having money. Jesus has a problem when the money has us. And that's why he had to let it go, you see. That's why Jesus said let it go. Okay. Back to the real message. Look at Acts 28. Verse 1, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. Modern translations use Malta, the Old King James, maybe the New King James, I don't know, Melita. It's an island that's about 100 miles south of Sicily, which is south of Italy, which is where Paul was supposed to be going. And the point is, he's a long way from where he was supposed to be going. Paul has gone a long way out of his way. Verse 2, the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he's been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off. He shook it off into the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that it was about to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after they waited a long time and saw that nothing unusual happened to him, they changed their minds and began to say, this man must be a god. You know, people are fickle. We always judge by the external. Can I tell you, this is why, brother and sister, this is why you and I should never judge another human being and what they're going on, what's going on in their life, what they're experiencing. We do the same thing these people do. We look at people that are going through a bad time. We think, well, they're going through a bad time. They must be bad people. They must have done something wrong, and so they're getting what they deserve. Or when people have good things happen to them, I was going to say, we usually say they must be good people, but usually we just get jealous. But anyway, that's another whole message. Let's just erase that part. The point is, brother and sister, you and I have no idea. Listen, you and I have no idea what people are going through and what God is doing in other people's lives. And it's why we have no business judging other people. See, okay, let's just leave it at that. All right. So consider Paul. Consider Paul. Here he is. He thought he would be a free man on his own, doing his own thing. Instead, he winds up arrested. He winds up doing what the Roman officials say to do. He winds up on a ship in the middle of the Mediterranean that is tossed in a storm for 2 weeks. And I don't know about you guys, I have a weak stomach. Just a little bit of roller coaster like this. It doesn't take me very long to just, can you imagine being out there being tossed for 2 weeks? In the middle of an ocean like this. Finally, after being tossed around for 2 weeks, hallelujah, he's shipwrecked. Okay? And now the ship breaks up and he's in the water. And he finally is able to swim to shore, hallelujah, and what does he find? Cold and rain. I mean, it just Nothing seems to work. Now he's freezing cold. Now he's soaking wet. And he's trying to find a way to get some comfort. So he goes and gets some sticks to throw them on the fire, to feed the fire, to get warm, to get dry. And what happens when he gets the sticks? A snake comes out and bites him on the hand. What's the old saying? If it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. It just keeps getting worse and worse. Listen, Paul finds himself in a bad situation. But here's what I want you to see. Look at what Paul does when he finds himself in a bad situation. Paul doesn't complain. Paul doesn't sulk. Paul doesn't get depressed. Paul doesn't blame and curse God. Instead, Paul just does what needs to be done. He gets up. He takes the next step. He makes himself available. And he becomes, watch this, he becomes a servant. By doing what needs to be done. He doesn't wait for other people to take care of him. He doesn't wait for other people to look after him to meet his needs. He gets up and becomes responsible and does what he needs to do to take care of his situation there. The island is called Malta. How many of you have ever been to Malta? I guarantee you, we've all experienced a Malta in our life. Malta is the place where you don't want to be. Malta is the place you didn't want to go. Malta is the place where you find yourself in a bad situation and it wasn't of your choosing and you wish you weren't there, and yet, doggone it, there you are. And the question becomes, what are you going to do when you find yourself in Malta? Are you going to complain? Are you going to grumble? Are you going to sulk? Are you going to get depressed? Are you going to curse God? Or are you going to step up and take care of business? Do what needs to be done. Look for God in Malta. And do what God tells you to do. Because I guarantee you, God is right there in the Maltas of life. Maltas can be any bad situation you find yourself in. Anything that happened to you somewhere along the way in your journey through life. You may find yourself in a situation you had no idea. It could be a divorce that caught you by surprise. You didn't know there were even problems in the home, and suddenly your spouse is just gone. Could be a job that you've lost, a business that's been lost, and you worked hard and you did what you thought was right, and you believe you were doing what God wanted you to do, and yet the thing is just gone. Could be a tragic accident, a crippling accident. Something has happened to you, and it has changed your life forever. Question is, what are you going to do next? You can lay down, moan and groan, gripe and complain, or you can look for God in the Maltas of life. Because God is there. He promised he would be. He said, I'll never leave you and I will never forsake you. Real quickly, we looked at verse 3. Just a couple of things in the rest of this passage here. Paul's gathering a bundle of sticks. He laid them on the fire, but a viper is a snake. It's a serpent. Spiritually, it's a picture of the devil. And here's a point that when we set out to do what needs to be done, when we set out to do what God has called us to do, hey, when we set out to be on fire for God, you can expect serpents to strike, okay? You can expect to stir up trouble where the devil is concerned when you set out to take care of business and do what God has called you to do. You're going to stir up the enemy. You're going to stir up the enemy. But look at what Paul does in verse 5. However, he shook off the creature. The snake bit him, and he just shakes it off and goes on about his business. Church, please hear this. It is a picture of the authority that you and I as believers have over the enemy and his attempts against our life. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, behold, I have given you authority over all of the serpents and the scorpions and over all of the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you or cause you to fall. Nothing shall cause you to fall. When the enemy strikes our life, listen, now watch. Peter did say this. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But before he said that, he said this, submit to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Paul is the picture of a man who's walking with God. Paul is the picture of a man who has surrendered to the Lord. He's doing the will of God. And because he is submitted to God, when the enemy strikes, he can just shake it off and go on about his business. But it's a picture of the authority that we have over the works of darkness. Now please notice, Jesus never said the devil can't bite you. He just said the devil can't take you out. Now, the devil will strike. The devil will attempt. He will try to harm you. He will try to bring harm to you. He will try to destroy you. It's what he does. But if we're really walking with God, we can have authority over those works of the enemy in our life and walk in a place of victory in Christ. I need to finish this real quickly. Look down at verse 7 where we stop there. Paul finds himself in a bad situation, but he keeps trusting God anyway. Not only does he look for God, watch this, Paul looks for opportunities to serve God, even in a bad place. Verse 7, now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the leading men of the island named Publius, who welcomed us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was lying in bed afflicted with recurring fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. And after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. Paul's in a bad place. Paul's in a place where he doesn't want to be. Paul's in a place he probably wouldn't have chose to go. But even though he's in a bad place in his life, he still looks for God in that bad place. And he looks for opportunities to serve God in the bad place. And God still has a purpose for him in that bad place. Guys, hear this. No matter where you are today, no matter how you got there, the amazing thing about God is God has a purpose for you while you're there. There is something that you can do to bless other people in the name of the Lord, something you can do to glorify God even in that bad place. Sometimes we get sick and we pray and we don't get healed and we wonder why and we have to go to a doctor and we don't like that. But maybe God sent you to that doctor's office because there's a doctor or there's a nurse or there's somebody there that you can bless, that you can speak a good word over their life. You can bring some encouragement to their heart. Or you can go in and complain about the doctor's cost and everything else. It's your choice. You can complain. Or you can be a blessing wherever you are. God has an opportunity. And look at this. The serpent bit Paul on the hand. And then Paul shakes it off and goes and lays hands on this man for his healing. Listen, the place that the serpent bit became the place of healing for someone else. There are lots of times, family, when the devil strikes us and the devil does things to us. Maybe the loss of a loved one, maybe the loss of a job, maybe whatever it might be, the loss of a relationship. But in that place where we've been struck by the enemy, we can find healing from God, and then in that same place, we can be a blessing to others. There's nobody that can be a greater blessing to people with marriage problems than somebody who has been through marriage problems and survived them. There's nobody who can be a greater comfort to somebody who has lost a child or something like that than somebody else who has lost that child. Where you have been bitten, God can use you in that place to serve and to be a blessing. And Paul made the decision that even though he is in a place where he probably wouldn't have chosen to be, he chose rather than to complain and grumble and sulk, and get depressed, he chose to trust God. He chose to look for God. And he chose to look for opportunities to serve God and to see what God's purpose was. Listen, I don't know what your Malta is today. I don't know what you might be going through or how you happen to get there. But I know this, God is right there with you. And if you will look to God, God will find a place and he will use you in that place to glorify himself. God works all things together. Even our biggest blunders and mistakes, God is able to turn those things and work through us, through those things, to be a blessing to other people's lives. Let me close with this last verse, verse 10. After this man has been healed, the people begin to bring other sick who are also cured and healed by the Apostle Paul. Verse 10, they also honored us with many marks of respect, and when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all that we needed. You familiar with that verse? My God meets all my needs. And because they were faithful to serve the Lord in Malta, in that bad place, they were faithful to look for the Lord and serve the Lord in that place. God was faithful to still meet their needs, even in a bad situation. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful today for your faithfulness to us. And we choose, Lord, to make the decision that the Apostle Paul made. We choose to believe in you. We choose to trust that no matter how bad life may get, you're still good. And we choose to believe that every good and perfect gift will come our way from our good, good Father. We thank you for it. Father, give us wisdom to look for you in the bad seasons of life, regardless of how we get there. Yes, if we're there by our own poor choices, we need to repent. But Lord, we look to you in that. We seek your forgiveness. And then we seek your wisdom and your direction. And we still long for your presence because we know it's in your presence that we find fullness of joy. And we look to you. We'll not be overwhelmed. Thank you, God. And help us, Father, to realize that we can still be useful even in the bad places of life if we will look to you and trust in you and look for your purpose in where we might happen to be. And so, Lord, we make ourselves available to you today for you to have your way in our lives, even in the bad times of life. We thank you for using us to glorify your Son Jesus and making his name known. Bless you, Father. I shared with you over the course of the message there that when we seek the Lord, we really seek to do something significant for God, make a difference in people's lives, get on fire for God. That it's often in situations like that that we stir up the enemy. And what he wants to do is he wants to move us away from faith and move us away from God. The secret, brother and sister, is for us to continue to stand in faith. And to use the very thing he's trying to steal from us to overcome him and defeat him. To not lose heart, not draw back, not quit believing, but to press in that much more to God. And we've had some pretty good services, I think, over the last couple of weeks here at Victory Fellowship. God's blessed. And we've had some good times together. And this past week, I think we got the devil's attention. And we've had several people report to us this past week of strange injuries. Tiffany has ligaments pulled in her foot. Susanna uncrossed her legs earlier in the week and may have torn an ACL. Sarah leaned over to pick something up and pulled something in her back. Just the simplest little things have brought harm and injury to people in our church family. I would like for us to stand together in faith today against the attacks of the enemy and for the healing of our sisters at Victory Fellowship. I'm going to ask a couple of you, if you would please, and Z, could you just kind of turn around, and Tiffany's sitting right behind you there, the young lady sitting there. You got your boot on today, Tiffany? She's in her boot. You can turn around. If you would, just lay hands on her right there. And would you turn around and lay hands on Sarah? She's right behind you. We thank God that Jeff is here today. Jim, would you walk over and lay hands on Jeff? We thank God that the corner has been turned for Jeff, and things are getting better in his life. And we want to pray for these people this morning, particularly concerning the issues that they have been battling. So would you join me as I pray? Father, we thank you today for the authority that is ours in Christ Jesus. That when the enemy strikes, just to shake it off. Just to shake it off. And we make the decision today, Father, particularly for these sisters that have been struck this past week. We make the decision to stand with them against the works of darkness, against their life. And we declare the victory of Jesus for each of them today, and thank you, Father, for bringing by your grace a healing into their lives and into their bodies. We agree with them for this work to be done by your grace and your goodness, Father, because you are a good, good Father. We trust and believe good reports will come from their doctors as recovery comes quickly. By the grace of the Lord. Thank you, God, for the work you're doing in Jeff, for the recovery that now is well underway in his life. And Father, we look forward. We look forward to his complete healing as well, when he can get back to work. Lord, when he can give a testimony of what you've been doing in his life. Thank you, Father, for your blessing over these people, especially today. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, I lift up my brother Eric to you today. The passing of his mom last night. We are so grateful, Father, that when believers pass from this life, they immediately enter into the presence of the Lord. We thank you, Father, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we thank you, Father, for what appears to have been a very quick and easy passing for Mrs. Kaplinger last night, from one realm into the next. We believe in your faithfulness to receive her, Father, and we thank you for that. And so we lift up Eric today, Father, and Linda, and Nathaniel, and Jess, and Jen. For Eric's brother and his family in Nebraska, we lift them all up to you today, Father, for the peace, the comfort, and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father, to give Eric and his brother wisdom, the family wisdom, moving forward as they make the decisions that they need to make. And we pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit in this season of grieving. And yet, Father, in the midst of grief, we thank you that through Christ our Lord we can find hope. We thank you for the hope of eternal life that is all of ours who believe in Jesus, and for the hope that Eric has seeing his mom again when he crosses to the other side. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance of salvation that's ours through Christ our Lord. God, I pray for John Rice as he prepares for surgery for a hernia. We ask you, Lord, for grace for John, for healing on his body. Take care of our brother, Father. Continue to do your good work in his life as you continue to change him from grace to grace, faith to faith, into the image of the Son of God. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters, the Gulf Coast region of Texas today. We pray for your hand of mercy and grace to be upon them in the midst of the tragedy that they are experiencing even as we speak today. We pray that you watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, even as we read about those that you protected through the storm in the scriptures today, protect their lives likewise, Father. Show yourself strong. Do amazing things. Raise up mighty witnesses through what you do down there, Father, to declare the goodness and the glory of the Lord and to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to rise up and to be willing to be the help that they need down there to get through and to walk through the days of recovery that are still yet ahead. Father, we bless you today for the opportunity that you give to us to play this part in their lives and to be a blessing in your name. Give us a willing heart, Father. Help us to see the opportunities even in the bad times and to take full expression of every opportunity, to take full advantage of every opportunity, to do all that we can do to help those precious people in their day of suffering. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together this morning and stay in an attitude of prayer for just a couple of moments as we bring our service to a close here today. Thank you, Father. Recently on Wednesday nights, we've been doing this to close our service. I'll ask if we could do this today. This morning, as we close our service and we're still in an attitude of prayer, I want to ask you to think about the people that are around you where you are standing right now. People to your left, to your right, people behind you, people are in front of you. Would you think about those people today and would you lift up a prayer on their behalf today? Would you pray for the favor of the Lord on that man or woman, that brother or sister? Would you lift up a prayer on their behalf today and ask for God's grace in their life? Pray that they would know the will of God for their life and they would experience the peace of God upon their life. That the Lord would visit them mightily to grant to them wisdom beyond their own understanding, to show them His way and to help them walk in it, to find the peace and comfort of the Lord maybe in a bad day, in a bad place. Pray the blessing of wisdom, the blessing of strength upon them, the blessing of comfort, the blessing of joy, the blessing of health. Pray that they would be blessed with every spiritual blessing according to Ephesians chapter 1, as it's been promised to us by the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our community and the love that we have one for the other. And now, Father, as we prepare to make our way out of this place today and back to our homes or lunch or wherever you're taking us from here, we thank you for the challenge that you've set before us here today to always be looking to you. No matter what, expecting you to show up, looking for the opportunities to be used by you, no matter what. Thank you, God, for these precious people that have come to our church today. Would you bless them, God, in a special way? Would you make yourself known to them in a mighty way? Would you shower them with your love? Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's sing as we're dismissed this morning. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will stay in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. Can you take care of all these?